scars have been a pride.
Got the music up and bumping when we always up to something. Oh yeah, we up to something.
And we're going to lead off today with a, first of all, RIP to Bray Wyatt, man. One of the most special talents in pro wrestling. Like, I will go as far as to say pro wrestling history, especially in our generation. We haven't really seen anything like that in the past, present, and probably won't see anything as a creative like that in the future with the Bray Wyatt going from, you know, the Wyatt family to the Fiend characters and stuff. So he was also a good, very good locker room companion to have. And then, you know, WWE, when I was there, you know, doing my 205 Live and stuff like that. So I was seeing him for like my 1 year that I was there in WWE. He was always a real warming guy, you know, motivated. He loved the 205 Live, the cruiserweights and stuff. So he was always like very motivational. And he always spit knowledge to us too. And he just like really gave you hugs when you seen him at the airport and you landed and stuff. He was a really good dude. So RIP Bray Wyatt, man.
Amen, amen.
And RIP Terry Funk, you know, pioneer in this game. You know, dating all the way back to the 70s, the Funk, him and Dory Funk Jr. You know, the Texas boys, you know, aside from the hardcore stuff that they did later on in their careers, man, they were captivating characters, not just in television, but just in pro wrestling in general. And when it came to like the territory days, to going all the way to, you know, WWF, and then like Japan, being a mentor to Mick Foley, and just probably even going all the way up to Ring of Honor. You know, like, shout out Terry Funk, man, just phenomenal talent, phenomenal mind for the business, and they don't make them like that no more. So shout out to Bray Wyatt. Shout out to Terry Funk, man. RIP.
Amen, man. Rest in peace, man. As a wrestling fan from starting from the early 90s, man, just doing my research. You know, my first time knowing who Terry Funk was when I was, you know, old enough to remember when he was doing the Chainsaw. The Chainsaw Charlie thing in the late 90s with Mankind, with when he was Cactus Jack, and to see where it is, he transcended the business. Looking back, you know, at his earlier work, when I got old enough to, you know, when the WWE Network came and I was able to actually do my research on him, the man that was an absolute legend, you know, from his feuds and the way that he was, like Swerve said, an amazing character, trendsetter, you know, hearing all the stories of how he always gave advice, put other people in position. Always was a good person, you know what I mean, and one of the people in the back that you love. And that's, as entertainers, they always say, you know, it's hard to meet your heroes, but everybody who met their hero, Terry Funk, always had a good story about him.
Without a doubt.
And Bray Wyatt, I mean, like I always said this when we started this podcast in 2017, to when he first debuted, you know, to when he debuted, to when we was watching him when Swerve was in the E, I always said, like, him, Bray Wyatt, Swerve, and Darby Allin are my three guys. And I would always talk to him on the phone about Bray and how much I admired him. He was one of my dream interviews for us to have. He was, you know, somebody that, you know, was one of the rare people that was an actual character that you actually could sink your teeth into. He was so creative. He reinvented himself like five times in the course of a few year period, which is absolutely amazing. And, you know, they say that, sometimes the good die young, and when God calls you home, he calls you home to his family, to JoJo, his kids, his wonderful kids from both families, his pops, sister, everybody in relation to the Rotunda family. You know, we give our blessings and speedy prayers to you. You know, never be the same, but, you know, I put faith in God that you guys will be taken care of, and, you know, we Godspeed to you guys, man. And to both the families, to the Funks and to the Rotundas, you know, may God bless both of you guys and rest in heaven.
Yes, sir. This is a different type of episode we're doing today. We're going to just reminisce, you know, we're going to talk about, this is just a long time since us as the brothers, You know, myself, Swerve, and TZ just had like a episode to ourselves. You know, we're just going to talk a little bit about like what things have been going on, you know, speak on some pop culture stuff. We both like, it's Madden season, football season started up. And we both irritated as hell. You know, he's a Titans fan. You know, I'm a Rams fan. But I mean, while Rams won week one, you know, we played Seattle. With the very limited resources that we have as far as talent on offense, Cooper Kupp didn't even play this week. So all we're throwing is to Tyler Higbee. Kukanoka is one of the named receivers who's a free agent, like undrafted free agent out of nowhere. Never heard of him, never seen him. There's no footage of him. Like, we just came out balling. Like, you know, then you got like, you know, Cam Akers back. You know, you got. Got little pieces, but we winning games. You know, we got Matt Stafford back healthy again. You know, Aaron Donald's back on the field. We lost Jalen Ramsey over the preseason, but we all right. Tennessee Titans, they add talent and still can't get right.
So we still can't.
Got DeAndre Hopkins over there, and like he looks frustrated because Tannehill's throwing him the duckiest of duck passes where only faith in humanity can catch it.
Amen, so. Brother. Only, you know, and, you know, it's short passes and Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry is good for about 5 viral stiff arms a season. And we're running that man to the ground at 30 years old. And he's like 28, 29 now, still young. But he's like damn near 30.
With 40-year-old knees.
40-year-old knees. Yeah. Everybody's clipping at his legs every play. We get a receiver. We don't have a quarterback. We got Will Levi, young guy. I really want us to go to the future because I've never been a Tannehill dude. Nice guy, but you being nice doesn't mean you can do your job. And like, you know, people you work with are nice people, but their job, they just don't fit.
I mean, we was watching the quarterback show on Netflix. You know, it shows like Patrick Mahomes, Marcus Mariota, and Kirk Cousins on it. And you can tell by how they interact and how they talk, how their energy is, that they you can tell who the winners are. You can tell who the dogs are. You know, you can tell who the ones you want to ride for. You want to run through a wall for. And Patrick Mahomes has this ego / confidence / like this leader type ability that you just want to, like, you know what? Yeah. Like, they'll mess up. They'll have to punt, or he'll throw an interception, or somebody will fumble or whatever. And they'll be like, you know what? No, we going to get – don't worry. We score next time. We score next play. Don't worry about it. I'm like, yeah, we are. Yeah.
Matter of fact,
like,
we are.
No fingers pointed, no blame. He's just like, no, we're going to score next time. Like, and you believe that. And then you just want to go out there and be motivated. Like, Tennessee don't got that. Tannehill don't got that.
Nah.
Tannehill don't have that. Nah. Will Levi too nice. I'm like, I don't want a nice quarterback. I want a dog. I want somebody who's going to scream at somebody for missing a block. Yeah. You know? Like, because when you miss a block, you have the Aaron Rodgers incident. When you miss a left tackle misses a block and doesn't do his assignment properly, like, you have an Aaron Rodgers who, like, if you don't know, Monday Night Football, 3 plays into his new career as the New York Jets starting quarterback, tears his ACL, 3 plays into the game.
Three plays.
Coming off the left tackle, and they didn't stop him. They didn't keep the block, and boom, took his ACL out. And that it's harder than what I was hearing. It's harder to heal your ACL at 40 than it is at your 20s. So that's all another thing. But yeah, man, like, you just like, I feel like that type of mentality as a quarterback, that should go hand in hand with just anything in life. You don't, like, it's cool to have a nice boss. It's cool to have a nice leader. It's cool. And that keeps the, that really keeps the morale well, you know. But there's times where, if y'all slacking and the product is just not pushing out the good quality, you know, whether it be football, sports, your job, wrestling, music, whatever it is, acting, I don't care what it is. If it's not doing what y'all fully are capable of doing, then you need a dog. It's okay to have somebody who's going to dig in your ass a little bit, pause, but like someone who's going to like hold you accountable and hold themselves accountable. And then, like, you know, and that's what I feel like those people and those characters are kind of getting punished a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Having that mentality, the guys that are like that push for more. guys that hold you accountable and stuff, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think that that's something that is almost becoming a lost art, I think.
Yeah.
In a time when the world is, you know, kind of becoming more sensitive towards certain things. Like, the way I was raised was in a sense of balance. Like, hey, this is the love when you need it, but also, too, you know, you need that push, you need that kick in the ass, and you learn how to, how it just kind of, you know, get you in the fight or flight mode, and you're like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this, because somebody's, you know, expectations. There's nothing wrong with expectations and people having expectations of you to be great, because nobody else is, you know, everybody, it's almost like going to the military, as you have experience with, like, everybody's training to be at the top level, to be, it's like basketball, sports, you're training all 7 days just to play that game for 2-3 hours, and in order to get to that point, you have to be pushed to your limits. You have to be pushed to what you mentally
push beyond your limits. Push beyond your limits. I did not expect Lil Wayne to come out here looking like Beetlejuice. He literally has transformed into Beetlejuice right now, bro.
On the VMA.
We watched the MTV Video Music Awards, which I haven't seen since I was like 15 years old. But opening up with Lil Wayne, Young Money.
Absolutely.
And he is literally looking like Beetlejuice. Shout out to the GOAT, though, the legend.
Shout out to the GOAT. With the way that, you know, to sports are, the way the society is, it's very, very hard to really implement, you know, your structure on people, pushing people, telling people how things could happen. And like you said, even in all work environments, being able to help push people. And I think, you know, also leading into this conversation is that's what helps you get to, you know, AEW All In London. That's what helped you get there, and having that discipline and that push. You know, I want to ask you, because we're you know, this is the show just with you just coming back, with you being able to do this and make history and being on that card and that great match teaming up with Christian against Sting and Darby Allin, you having a legendary entrance, you doing this, how did that feel? What's that whole day like? Give us the feel of how you felt that day.
Honestly, that day I kind of was like zoned in and wasn't really thinking about work. I was just thinking about the task at hand. I wasn't really thinking about the moment. It was almost like one of those times I was like, you know, I'll feel the moment when the moment after it's done.
Absolutely.
You know, I just wanted to just go out there and perform. I wanted to make sure my performers, as far as like, you know, like DJ Who Kid, shout out to Who Kid and Flash Garments coming out there on my entrance and stuff. I wanted to make sure they were good. They were set. They're in a calm mode, and I kind of got to be a leader in a sense, you know. I kind of got to be like the field general in a sense, because like if you watch a majority of that match, I'm kind of tethered onto every portion of the match. So I'm kind of like, I don't really have too many downbeats. I'm like on every portion. I got to be here. I got to be there. I got to be there. I got to be there. I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And so with that being said, like, I kind of be more focused. I'm not like looking at the people. No, I'm focused on this camera. I'm focused on here. I'm focused on here. I'm focused on here, you know. So those were the things I just wanted to really, like, dial. I was more dialed in, I would say. I was more dialed in than ever. But at after the day later, flying home, that's where I kind of was like, okay, that happened. Okay, that we did that. Okay, we pulled it off.
Amen.
And especially matter of fact, the year building up to that, man, it was like the first half of this year, I was very much so like kind of like shaky ground, you know, like as you can see, like over here, you see the Mogul affiliates, the original Mogul affiliates. You could say that was a failure in a sense. And I'm not ashamed to say that, because it was, I take ownership and I take responsibility for coming up with the act. And it didn't go as planned. The guys got hurt too, so that took them off TV for like several weeks. So I end up just like being kind of floating in a little bit, in a sense, as far as a character and where to go. So I kind of was like, how do I do this? Okay, let me pivot here. Let me do this. Let me do that. So it was a lot of thinking on my feet on a weekly basis, not everybody necessarily agreed with it. Not everybody saw the vision. Not everybody understood it. And so it's one thing being my vision, this is my dream, and this is my how I want to present this. This is how I want this, how this should go, and stuff like that. But it's also not my show.
Absolutely.
I'm not writing this. This is I'm not like funding this. I'm not producing this product. I am a character playing a role on this show. And I that's something I also had to understand and be respectful and understand that role too, to also give the vision of what my boss wants, what he is producing the show.
Amen.
And when I started like trying to step, when I stopped trying to like be so hands-on and control a lot of those things, and I stepped back and played my role a little bit more, is where things started really starting to get back in the groove of things, and the train got back on the tracks and started locomotively moving. That's where like I got off of Rampage and started getting back on Dynamite slowly but surely. I started, you know, me and Darby started going back together. And then we had Nick Wayne that was going to be coming in soon, you know. So all these things started layering up and started adding together. And then like we knew those guys weren't going to be coming back for a while because of the injuries and all that stuff. So we I followed once again. I stepped back and stopped trying to control things and let Tony Khan take control. And because he has a great mind for this business, a lot of people will try to have their comments and have their, you know, their statements of what they see or how we should be maneuvering as a boss, as a creator, as a booker, as a promoter, as a whatever, you know, for what he's done and stuff to get to 82,000 people in a stadium for Wembley Stadium. That's like not easy. That's not easy. Some of the greatest minds in wrestling have never done that. And he's done it in 4 years.
Absolutely.
You know, and like with a refined roster. Very refined roster. That's a tough roster. For me to even be on that card is really tough.
Yeah. That's, you know, yeah.
That
yeah,
was like really not that easy. And to be placed in a position to face Sting, of all people, one of his the only stadium shows he's ever going to do probably at the end of his career, this late in his career, that's not easy. You know, so, but being able to go back to being and trusting the process, trusting the management, trusting my boss and him deciding to move me with the Mogul Embassy, with Toa Khan and Brian Cage and Prince Nana, it was like, okay, that's what we're going to do then. It wasn't much fighting. It was just like, okay, let's do this. And it was just taking what he's given me. And that's, I feel like that's always been like a gift I had throughout my life and my career in wrestling. Like I'm handed something. I'm like, okay, how do I make this more than what this is now in 3 weeks, in 3 months, and a year, you know, like what can I do to maximize the most out of this?
Absolutely.
From what you're giving me, if you're giving me this, my goal is to make this better than what it was when you handed it to me. And I think right now with the Mogul Embassy getting, just getting Nana in front of 80,000 people doing like the swerve dance, swerve challenge and stuff. That was like a big accomplishment in itself, you know, getting that man a new AEW contract. Cause up until that point, he was only on Ring of Honor and he was only signed to a Ring of Honor dates. And he just happened to start coming in on Rampage here and there. Cause Brian Cage was working Rampage and Dynamite. And cause Brian Cage was, they were doing a couple spot matches, you know, with Toa and Khan and the
Absolutely.
Gates of Agony. And to all of a sudden in 1 week, he was on Ring of Honor, Rampage, Collision, and Dynamite in 1 week
mm-hmm.
as the only star on the roster to
right,
do that.
Right.
To, like, you know, getting his own contract now. Like, shout out to that man for just being around. Another dude who just, like, just redefined his whole character, his whole career. You know?
Absolutely. He really did.
He reinvented again.
And he's been around a long time.
Since early 2000s, I was watching that man. So,
and to see, you know.
And we've been friends for like a majority of my career, like in passing.
Right.
You know, but we never really connected. Now we hang out all the time.
Absolutely. And seeing how, you know, looking at it from a fan's perspective, seeing how all of it came together and taking the bias of knowing you out of it, just seeing how when you first started the Mogul Affiliates, how that all, the concept came together. It just needed to formulate. And sometimes ideas needs time to formulate. Sometimes with being visionaries like us, because we kind of think of out of our third eye, because we kind of see everything ahead, that sometimes we're ahead of our concept. And it's not like it's a bad idea. Just sometimes it takes time. But the way we see it is going to take time to develop sometimes. And you know, normally when you're a visionary, that's the gift and the curse of being a visionary. Sometimes the way you see it at first is like, okay, I think this is perfect, or it's going to work this way. And then sometimes you got to step back because you're already ahead of where you see it. But now it's like, oh, okay, these pieces. Sometimes it takes somebody else to add a little seasoning to your idea, to your vision, and being able to be comfortable enough to step back and say, okay, I see what he's trying. He's trying to add to it. He's not taking away from my vision. He's not saying that it's not going to make sense. He just wants to add a little couple tweaks to what it is. And that's why it's always good to have someone with you in your corner. Because now, you know, think about how all this came together. You had the Rick Ross cosign. You had all the artists come in and give you that cosign, which already helped build the brand. Now that you're focusing on the wrestling and things are just coming together, now you got a great manager who can do the animated stuff that you don't have to necessarily do all the time with your character and what you do, you know?
Yeah, because there's a balance with that kind of stuff. Like, you can't just be too brooding.
Right.
You know, and, like, there's times I have to be that brooding character in the sense of the setting the tone. The tone is kind of fits that, you know, and I got to kind of match that. But it's cool to have someone behind that can be a little more outlandish and joyous, and it's also fun to watch for the fans. You know?
Absolutely.
Because, like, there's times I can't be the fun one to watch. There's times I got to be, like, that not fun guy. I kind of got to be nasty. I got to be, say, some really vile stuff. I got to do some really horrific things on camera, you know? Like, I got to, you know? But it's really cool to have, like, Nana there to, like, have the fun in it, the... Like, oh, I am watching a really enjoyable character, you know? He can be my favorite to watch.
Absolutely.
It's almost like watching any, like, villain film, you know? Like, there's maybe bad people and villains in a movie or stuff, but there's still, like, pretty entertaining characters around them that are really fun.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And now you see how all the, you know, everything is coming together. You know what I mean? Everything's lining up from the Double XL cover. From now, you having a viral hit record that you collaborated on and that you made. To see how all that, even with the music, is tying in to what the wrestling is in your brand. You know what I mean? You just had a movie released. So the way that all this is coming together is what's helping making, you know, the Mogul Embassy even something even bigger now, especially with you having your teammates and your guys. You see, Cage has gone to another level. Mm-hmm. The tag team's gone to another level. Prince is one of the most entertaining people to see on television. To see how all this is happening,
there's a lot of colored folks on the
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I think we're like the most like as far as like people of color. We're like the only faction that has that next to the Acclaimed.
Absolutely, you know?
But you can almost say in a majority of wrestling and like all like across the landscape and stuff. I know as far as like one of the African American wrestlers and stuff, black wrestlers, I get the most TV time out of a lot of the pro wrestlers on like local on any company.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that takes a lot of dedication and that takes a lot of coming outside of my ego as well.
Yeah. You know. And us being entertainers, sometimes that can be tough for us because of the way we see things. And a lot of times our confidence and our ego is really all we have a lot of the times. Because that's the only way that keeps us going. Like, real talk, because you got to think about the tweets and the stuff that he deals with as a wrestler. Me as a musician, stuff that I see, mm-hmm. stuff that people said about me and things like that. Sometimes you have to, the only way you keep going a lot of times is to tap into that. That's the thing that keeps you pushing. It's like, nah. I am that MFA. You know what I mean? Like, I have to tap into that.
But fans want that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Fans don't want to buy in and purchase, like, or, like, buy. Like I said, they don't want to buy somebody that's not confident.
Right.
They don't want somebody that's like, I think I'm going to be able to pull this off. No, people want, I know that they're going to pull this off. Like, what we were talking about with the quarterback situation. You know, you want to root for a quarterback for your team, for your city, you know, that knows that he is the man.
Yep.
That knows he can get it done.
Yep.
That knows that, like, the city is that like, even in basketball, get pass me the ball.
Absolutely.
You want that pass me the ball guy. You know, like, oh, we'll apologize later. You want it, like you said, like you was talking about your guy on the playoffs this year was Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
That was your guy.
Yeah, you bro. Like, I love that personality. Yeah. I love of personality.
Move out of the way. I'm dropping 50 tonight. Right. I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, but
he's a team player. He's a team player. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll just average his 20. You know what I mean? He doesn't, it's just 20 and 6. He doesn't necessarily share the ball. Everybody in Miami shares the ball. That's how Eric Spoelstra, you know, coaches the team. But when they need a bucket, okay, now, this the fourth quarter. We down 7. All right, give me the ball. And he'll deliver. You know what I mean? But he's also one of the best team players you'll find. You know what I mean? And that's what, you know, I relate to you in wrestling in that sense of him. You know what I mean? You're like that in that sense to me. And that's the kind of people that I cater to. Is like, okay, I'm a great team player. I'll pass the ball. I'll get 7-8 assists. No problem. Hey, bro, you got it. But when it's time to get that ball and when that camera turns on and that bell rings and it's time for that match, you always damn deliver. You know yep. when it's time you got to cook. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, guys, move. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And,
you know what I mean?
But like in wrestling, you kind of want to work with somebody like that too. Yep, I got it. Don't worry. I'll yep. be there. Nope, I got it.
Yep.
No, we're going to kill this.
Yep.
Like, you know, you want to tag with somebody like that. Like at the time, man, like I feel like Keith Lee was like the epitome of that. Keith Lee was like, I was like, I know Keith is going to be there. I don't have to look. I just know Keith is going to be right there on that time. Let me just, it's like, let me do my defense assignment and get to where I need to be because I know he's going to be there and I'm not going to have to, like, peek at him on the side of my eye to make sure or, like, to remind him, hey, move over. Oh, right. Like, you don't want to, like, right. oh, I know he was going to be there, you know? So, and like people want to work with that. People want to work with, like, someone who's, they won't say confident, but it's an ego. It's a little bit of an ego.
It's the same thing with music too. Like for a long time, me personally, I didn't have a reliable tag team partner musically for a long time. A lot of times it was just me kind of figuring it out on my own. And when you navigate through that, sometimes you lose inspiration. Sometimes you lose the fight, you know what I mean? The fight to want to keep going, or you get complacent with the music, or you get complacent now, you know what I mean? With you being developed and you doing your own thing now, it's great for when we do come together to have that tag team partner now musically, because it's always great to know that you could pass the ball to somebody that's going to deliver. Hey man, what do you think of what we should do with this song? And then we just do it. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. And you really need that with people. You know, shout out to King, Anthony King. Shout out to Rich Latta. Shout out to...
Anthony King is someone that you know, you just know.
Yeah.
You know, and he knows how talented he is.
Absolutely.
And he's like, man, like, he's one of the dudes like, man, that joint's fire, but, yo, it's missing something. Pass that over to me. I'll sauce it up. You want somebody like that.
You absolutely.
And you just want to pass that record too.
Absolutely.
You know, shout out King, bro.
Shout out to him.
Speaking of which, and like, what date is it? The 12th? We about almost like 18 days, almost 3 weeks, just short of 3 weeks before the Work It video comes out.
Yes, sir.
On this channel right here, the Swerve City Podcast channel.
Yes,
dropping
sir.
Work It featuring Fireman and These Dreams with my family, the Emmett teams, especially featuring my main man, Juice, Zombie Juice from Flatbush Zombies. Like, that's back-to-back days we're dropping, October 1st and September 30th.
Yep.
Back-to-back days.
Absolutely,
and I think
brother.
That's the first time we did a double drop.
Yeah, for videos, absolutely, yeah. brother. First time we've all done that. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely, brother. That's history being made. Shout out to Prophet.
Prophet directing.
With the great visuals, man.
Incredible. Global Films shooting it.
Shout out to him, bro. I love Global, that dude, bro.
That dude
good dude, man.
Was, like, we hit it off instantly.
Good dude. Good brother, man.
Like, we didn't, like Prophet, who's done worked with a lot of artists. I think the 2 days after he shot our video, he worked with Young Dro and shot a video with him. Worked in the studio with him. Produced his record and shot a video with him. And so he said, and he's worked with a lot. He like Prophet, someone who's worked with Kanye in the Mercedes-Benz arena at the time, you know. He said that was like probably one of the best experiences he had working with artists. He's like, y'all trusted him. We trusted his vision. Like, we didn't like bicker about small things. Everybody was on time. Everybody came ready to just move and work. Everybody was ready to perform. Nobody was drinking and smoking and acting a fool.
Yes,
like,
sir.
On their phones the whole time. Nobody brought like 20 people with them. We brought the right amount of people that was needed for the job, and we were in, got it done, and we were gone. And we ate together afterwards too. Like it wasn't like the typical like stereotypical music video.
Yeah, absolutely.
Type scene as you see where everybody's acting a wild fool, acting going nuts and going like doing all this craziness and all that stuff. No, it was like, no, this is my family. These are people we work with, but this is my family though. You know? This is my family and this is a family project. Even with all this ass just flying around on work, like T's sitting there like, oh, damn. I know he was doing all that. I'm like, yeah, it's day one. And shout out Alexis, you know, coming in there doing her thing, shutting it down. My lady is a performer.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. See, when she got dressed, I was like, I'm not looking at this. That's my brother lady. I was like, so certain things, I was just, you know.
I was like, she killed me. And she's like, yeah, she is.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, she doing her thing.
Yeah, she doing her thing, bro.
Good job, Alexis. Go.
Look. I only have my head down. I'm like, yep, that's what's up, bro.
Woo, yeah.
Like, yep, dog, that's what's up, bro.
Uh-huh.
I didn't mean to be short answer teasing, but I was just
Yeah, she talented.
Uh-huh. Then when the other women came up, I'd look. But
yeah.
I was like, oh, Lord. And she walked by, be like, all right, now.
You're like, Dre is up next. Oh, word?
Okay,
Dre,
cool.
Where Dre at?
Cool.
Shout out, Dre. She was the light of the party. Dre was real cool. She was on both days, too.
Absolutely.
Bella Black. Shout out Bella Black. Really, that's a fireman's artist. She's very talented, too. I checked out her IG page. She got some good
stuff.
The
one that was with him?
Yeah.
Okay, dope.
Bella Black. Look out for Bella Black. And Fireman, Chicago artist, got Grammys all over the Kanye's albums and projects and stuff like that. Like, look him up. He signed with Sony. So he's doing his thing, bro. And he wants a full swerve Fireman project. So that's something to look into, you know.
Like, absolutely.
So we got roots in Atlanta. Let's just say that. We'll put it that way.
Absolutely, man. You know, shout out to those guys, man, for the great experience. You know what I mean? For the great experience I've, you know, like Prophet said, man, my experience being around all these music videos, seeing a whole bunch of unprofessionalism. It's just great to be able to have a team of people, you know what I mean, for all of us to be able to come together. And the Dreams video was a great experience seeing that everybody, you know, coming together as a family and that wonderful setting, as you see, you know. And I don't know when we're dropping this to, but I have to say, you know, that not only was this a great experience, but this year for me personally has been one of the best years I've ever had, just through all the adversity I've gone through, but just seeing the accomplishments that has been able, not only through the team, but I've been able to make, just being able to just see, you know, the trajectory of where the team's going and where we're going. And this, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is just to see that, you know, what we always talk about, and the reason why I always bring this up when we talk about teamwork, is the fact of seeing how people could be brothers. And we always talk about this personally. People could be brothers and we could be Andre and Big Boy, but also have our own endeavors too and still be a group. Without, you know what I mean? And support each other for everything that we both have going on. And in order for things to advance, sometimes separate moves have to be made because he has networks and different things that he can make happen. I have different things that I can make happen behind the scenes that we tell each other, but we just don't say publicly that we're working on. So when these things happen and the world sees it, everybody's like, oh my God. We're like, nah, we said this. But in order to do that, things have to grow and people have to branch off to make moves for things happening. He's got some up-and-coming projects that he's working on, of things that when you see it, you'd be like, oh, okay, that's amazing that I know about, and vice versa. And, you know, to, for me personally, just on a personal level, to know that, you know, I'm going to be performing for Sammy in New York, you know, my hometown, when I was born, to be able to say that I'm performing his theme song in the match with him versus Chris Jericho, the biggest match of his career up to this point. And to know that I'm there doing that, I got to, you know, it's crazy, because the attestment to him putting me in position and how we started for him saying, yo, TZ, roll with me. Let's do this. And to have these opportunities that's come from as a group and separate has been amazing. And you can't write better storybooks for what we're both doing, you know, as a team, you know, together and separate. And whatever moves he make, I fully 100% support him. He roots for me and the moves that we make, and we're together as a unit. And to see all this come together and to know that, you know, next week I'll be in New York and performing this, and just, it's just hitting me. This is the first move that has been made in a while, bro, where it really hit me quick. Normally stuff I'll be like, oh, okay. And it's like another day in the office. This one really festered just because of everything that is we've gone through. That, you know, that we've come together to do this. It feels really good that this has happened and that is happening. And to see that, you know, my brother has his music videos dropping, and to see what he did in London, and to see what we're doing, you know, with some other moves I can't necessarily say, but things that are happening on both ends. Excuse me. I'm more than blessed, brother, to be a part of this. You know what I mean? And this podcast, this is just the beginning for us. Obviously, as you see, shout out to Si. I see the work you've been doing with Reggie. And shout out to you. Shout out to X. All the editing work he's been doing. The whole team. Shout out to King. Rich Latta. We want to give you a shout out. Rest in peace to your pops.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to your pops, Rich. We love you.
It's always here, bro.
Stay the course, brother. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of work that we're continuing to do. But shout out to everybody on the team. And that's one thing that he said briefly before I close my part on this. That's one thing that he said that was very, very poignant, is that we was all making these moves. Like, let's say the dream video. We was all on the Airbnb. You have all these personalities. Juice, myself, King, King's wife, Oracle, Lex, Swerve. And we all, it was all a family gathering. We all was getting along. It was like I said, it was the adult version of sleepovers.
Yeah. Up to like 2-3 in the morning. I got a microphone stand in a cul-de-sac in the neighborhood rapping. You know, y'all see the content of that soon.
Yeah.
Just seeing everybody come together, like especially Juice, who's like a man, has everything he could ever want in his life. He's him still coming through and being like, yo, I needed this. You know, I needed this, you know. I needed like to be with my people, my family, my friends. And that meant something to me, like, majorly, you know. That was a big deal for me. Just that our presence together can bring that to somebody like that.
Absolutely.
Man has seen everything. It knows everybody's seen everything. Then, like, you know, just being able to just, like, take care. And for me, like, as a, like, I'm at my heart, I'm a provider. And being able to just provide that kind of luxury to my friends and stuff, that means something too. You know, like, I can provide, like, a place for everybody to come through and be together and gather around, and we can do work and do these things together. You know, like, I've always loved doing that kind of thing. It's like, I don't ever want, like, oh, like, I need $75 from you. I need like $120 from you. And we're going to put it in the pot. And like, no, I was like, no, just come through, just get here. I got it, bro. Y'all good. You know? And like, I never like to be that pay me back type guy. You're like, all right, man, with interest.
Me neither, bro.
With interest, neither, you know, man. I never like being that kind of guy, like, 'cause that's not what this is about. Like, it's not about it's never been about I'm keeping a list or keeping a receipt of everything, all the good things. Remember the time I got you to, remember the time, like, you know, yeah, I never liked that. I never liked that being between friends or people, period. You know, like, if you can do it, just do it.
Absolutely.
And, and if you need something back, then don't, if you need it back and paid back in return, then don't do it. Don't do it.
Absolutely. And that's the true point of what, you know, essentially we've built over this time. You know, a lot of people don't get to hear about the things that we've built over these years from when we first started working together and seeing how things have developed. They only see, you know, you see us with the guests and you see us talking to them, but when we're talking amongst each other and you see the stories and the documentary is going to be so much fun, because it's all fun. There's no tragic ending. There's another this is all love between a group of people. And that's how things grow. That don't mean that hard times don't happen or personal life things don't happen. As I said on the Twitter today, I had to shout him out just because of, you know, the way he's looked out for me, you know what I mean? And my health journey and things like that, and him just keeping me focused and focused on the mission. And this man would comes to my house and hang out and eats dinner with me and my grandmother and hang out. This is little stuff. It's stuff that, you know, the little things that people don't do. And it's like, oh, man, you owe me for that. You know what I mean? No, this is stuff that we do right. as family. We look out for each other, man. And that's what it's all about. Like, that's why the music journey, you know, for us together, it's just fun. You know what I mean? It's fun. I enjoy getting in the studio with my brother and just making music. Like, I being with him, it taught me to back up from, you know, the business part of it so much. Because you get so wrapped in the business part of it, of anything. Like, I'm sure with him in wrestling, it's the same thing. You get wrapped up in just the technicalities and things. Like, you know, man, I just want to go have fun again, bro. Yeah. I just want to record again. I want to have fun. Some stuff I'm going to like, I'm going to say. Some stuff I'm not, and I'm not going to take it serious no more. Like, I'm just going to have fun, bro. Like, I'm mellowed out now. Like, I just want to have fun again. I want to go back to when I was in high school with my bros, and this is like the professional version of just beating on the lunch table rapping again. Just being on the lunch table, what you got to say, bro? Make the grind and beat and you freestyle. That's how it feels to me right now, but just on a fun way. I feel fun. It feels good again. You know what I mean? And I want to shout you out, brother, not only for what you're doing, but for you transcending the culture, bro. You transcending the culture. You being a noble black figure in wrestling and what you're doing, bro. I know you living in the moment, so it's hard to look back at it. But for people from the outside, Cy, myself, you're a superhero to a lot of people, bro. You know what I mean? Because of what you're doing. And you're in a rare space in what you're doing. And you're carrying it well. Like,
thank you, man.
There's like a LeBron.
I gotta ignore a lot of bullshit when it comes to that kind of stuff, too.
I know. And like, the mental toughness, brother.
It's the mental toughness. It's like the fact, it's like they doing all the extra hard work to still get the criticism on television for like the minuscule little seconds that don't go according to plan or just kind of a little bit off, you know, it takes a lot, you know, like you got to kind of filter that stuff. And the more you do, the more the criticism. And we talked about it with the Bucks last time when we were with them, you know, like these guys have done everything you possibly can do as a tag team in pro wrestling. And they still get the criticism every day. Like they started a company. Like, that's like 4 years deep doing 80,000 people, you know? And then, like, they're still like, oh, but they're not them. But they can't do this. Oh, they don't wrestle like that. Oh, the Bucks could never do this. It's like, can we appreciate what they have done that no other team has ever been able to produce? Like, you know? So it's like, that's the kind of thought I still close to my mind. I'm like, no matter how much more I do and how much more good intent I have for what I'm doing, you know, there's always going to be people that criticize because I'm not doing what they want it done, you know. But like, you also, even as a black man, they're like, I got a criticism, like, oh, now he's black. Oh, now he wants to be black. I'm like, I've always been black, but, you know, so it's like, when was the time for me to announce my blackness to the pro wrestling? When was the time? When was the appropriated, you know, opportunity? When, how long should I have been doing this? How long should I, like, when was the right, like, you know, like, and then some people are like, oh, she hasn't done nothing since Rick Ross. So I'm like, I brought Rick Ross, though. Rick Ross, like this person just kind of just walks on wrestling every single day. Like, it's like he's an easy, accessible person. No, this is like, there's layers to get to these kind of people, you know? One of the greatest of all time, but some people take that a lot of that for granted, and I got to take a step back and be like, no, there's some people that are like really inspired by these kind of moves. There's some people that really like are looking on the screen and TV thinking this wasn't possible, and I'm doing something that they'd never seen before, you know?
Absolutely.
And I got to focus on that fan base that is holding on, that is like appreciative, that is anticipating the next thing, wants to see, that is turning on the TV to want to see it, you know? And then there's other people, and then there's fans that don't know what's going on, and I want to try to grab that attention too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Absolutely, and that's the thing that I was saying, like, everybody has their role in all situations, and to see where you're at, there's a lot of people and a lot of things pulling you in many different directions with being where you're at. And you being smart enough to
to withstand that and know what makes sense at that time. You've always, like I said, you've always been great at that. Your timing has always been impeccable. Even with the moves that you make, you always know when to, and that's one thing that I believe I've excelled at as well, is learning when to strike and when to sit, when to watch. I was telling King the other day, I had a long conversation when I was talking to him on the phone. I said, we're like New Edition, in a sense. We're like the New Edition of wrestling, because you have the Bobby Brown, which I say you are. You're like Bobby, I'm Ralph, and he's Johnny Gill. Mm. In the sense of you're the star, you're the breakout star, you know what I mean? You got the my prerogative. That's you. You know what I mean? That's you. That's your lane. You're the breakout. You're the breakout talent. You're the guy that guy with the Whitney Houston. You're the guy. You know what I mean? That's your lane. That's your guy. You're the wild card. As me, I'm like the Ralph Tresvant. You know what I'm the architect. You know what I mean? Finding talent. You know what I mean? Finding talent. Kind of trying to be the like the Paul Heyman, the guy in the New Edition, where I could be the lead singer in certain things, but I could also look out for the team in this. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
And then Johnny Gill joins the group later because New Edition is already in pack. Bobby Brown, Ralph Tresvant, all of them are already in there. And then King joins the group later, as Johnny Gill did join New Edition, and King ends up being like the soul. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
That's what his talent is. And then you got your Michael Bivins and stuff like that, like Psy X, those guys, what part of the team that makes a New Edition foundation. Oh, yeah. I was sitting back thinking, I was like, wow, that really is dope. You got like three lead singers in one group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a great thing.
But at any point, Johnny Gill can get that solo.
Absolutely.
And tear the house down.
Absolutely, because King has been sending us these verses, and I'm like, bro, I don't know what to say, bro.
I'm like, what flow is there left to do?
I'm like,
what
King,
cadence is there?
I said, I
got nothing left.
These are normally taking me a little longer than they do because I don't know what to say, bro.
Well, I'm like, how do I say it? Like,
right.
I'm like, I got to kind of recreate, resculpt the whole cadence out of, like, you know. But it's
and then my dog dropping 84 bars on it, and I feel like my 16 ain't enough. I'm like, you know what, brother? Okay,
bro. The one joint I hit like 8, and it was cool.
I was like, bro, man, let me New York. Yeah, I'm probably gonna do 8 too, bro.
That was like a clean little swiftly little 8-bar scheme.
I had like 12 at that. I think I'm just gonna keep it at that 12, champ.
Yep,
that's it.
Like maybe get another feature in on that one. Yeah, and he dropping actually 16 to finish it off or something like that. But like I'm like, yeah, we gotta spread the wealth on this one.
Yeah, bro.
I got nothing on that.
Yeah, bro.
Like, you can't hop on a New York ish beat and then out New York the New Yorker. I just can't do that.
Yeah, man. And I'm you know, and it's just great to see how all the team, everybody on the team is moving. Like I said, man. And I'm going to talk my shit for a minute. We've had the most dominant run of any team from 2017 to now, and we're just literally getting started. You're literally just seeing us now, what we're doing, and we're not even pushing the gas yet. Seeing from stuff we're doing musically, in wrestling, in podcasting, we have literally had one of the most dominant runs you can name, and we've never tailed off. We've never tailed off. Things have always elevated. We've always pushed each other. When there's somebody else who could been a value or add to the team, we've always been cool with it. There's never been no egos. Nobody's had no problems with nothing. Everybody's always said, okay, this person can add value. We need that person for this.
And really, you know, just being 100% real, I kind of learned not to, because I used to have conversations with Mike on the phone all the time. Shout out Mike the GOAT, man. Shout out Mike to go killing it over there in the AEW offices, man. I used to be like, man, I don't feel like I'm being acknowledged for the hard work. And then a lot of times he'd be like, and then he one time he said, he's like, brother, you have to realize that while you're in the moment and while you're ahead of what everybody else is doing, the appreciation sometimes is not going to come until later. And learning to live with it, but still being motivated enough to still trailblaze and put in the work is really the battle. And it's tough because you put in, like you said, you put in all this work and you as a creator, you as an artist, you're always thinking about the next painting or the next move. Or then you make a move that within your spirit, you put so much into or a match or a song or anything that we're talking about, a podcast episode that you're really feeling. and then to, you know, to either not only get the negatives or the critiques, or even in the sense of you not feeling appreciated for what you do, it really can mess with your mind. It takes a lot of sitting down and thinking and really undercharging. I remember, you know, we had this conversation one time, brother, we were talking, and we were both like, we both need days where we just kind of like decompress from all this.
Mm-hmm.
Like every, like, that's like 1-2 days a week where me and him, like, we do this. Like, we just kind of shuts our phones off and just decompress. I have to do that at least like once a week now. Maybe once or twice a week now.
There's time, like, and I'm so glad my lady Lex, she knows, she understands that, like, hey, I need a day of, like, just sitting. I can't move today.
Right.
Like, we can do the gym, but after that, I need to sit down. I need to be in my domain and just relax. She's like, I get it. Let's plan something for tomorrow. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
It's because, like, I don't want to, I need that time to just, I need my time to understand. Yes. I need my understanding of myself, when I'm done, calculate what I'm going to do next. And sometimes, like, as you're moving, it's hard to figure out what's next. It's really hard because you're just so on active mode. But then there's times where you're like, then there's times where I'm like, it just came out of nowhere. And it happens when you're just doing nothing.
Yep.
You're away with everything. When you're just like, you're not hunting for it, you're not looking for it. It just comes to you. So like a lot of times where like people are stressing and trying to figure out this. I just be like, you know what? Yo, just sit and let the universe work itself out. When that the more you can do that, oh my God. That's where the blessings are coming from. It's like you gotta sit back and let God do his thing too.
Yep. You can't force it. You got to sit back and.
Cause that's where you get them like, yo, guess who just messaged me? Yo, guess who just called me?
Yeah.
And I get those from him like twice a month. Like, yo, you'll never guess what just happened. Yo, I got that email. Remember, I was waiting for like 3 months for that? And like, cause you got to sit back and let it come to you.
You got to let it cook, man.
Yeah.
You got to let it wait. And we, that's the great thing about success and being able to make things happen. Is I remember Tracy Morgan had a great interview with the Breakfast Club after his accident, and he sat back and he said, you gotta trust, you gotta ask God, but you gotta be patient, and it might not happen the way you want it to. It might not come to you the way you want it to, and it might not come immediately, but he said it takes him years for some stuff to be made, for moves to be made. Some things sometimes you put in the universe and that thing's not gonna come to you for a while because it's just not meant for you, but you got to sit back and say, all right, you know what? I'm just going to let the universe or let God handle it. And this is what I want. And it, you know, how long ago did I tell you, how many years ago I said, man, I want to perform that song for Sammy one day. I told him years ago when it first debuted, 2019, I wanted to do it. 4 or 5 years later, it happens.
Yep.
And I just sat back. I didn't say anything. Then I just randomly got the text message. Hey, you want to do it? Okay, cool. They didn't have to force it.
It came to him.
It came to you.
Just like Flash Garments, man. He'd been wanting to do my walkout theme since like Double or Nothing. When I did Double, when I had my first tag match at Double or Nothing for the tag titles, and I was like, it's a tag team, and it's like multiple people coming out. We're not going to have time for all that. And it was like, then All Out came, and he was like, I can be there. I'm like, it's not going to work. It's not the time yet. It's not the time. And then there was there's other performances on the show and all that stuff. And then Wembley came, and I was like, hey, I think we can get Wembley. And he was like, word? He's like, I can get out there. I'm like, and then I talked to the proper channels, the hierarchy, and they're like, he can get there. We can put him on. I'm like, yo, it's time. And then Who Kid was like, yo, y'all doing Wembley? That's going to be crazy, man. I was like, want to go? He's like, they go. It was like, cool. I was like, come on. And he's like, so DJ Hookie, one of the greatest DJs ever, just came out with me there. So it's just like an opportunity that just happened. And that was, like I said, that was a year in the making on that, a year and a half almost.
Absolutely.
It's like, so we just, like, let's not, like, settle on the 10,000 seat arenas, another 15,000 seat arena. Let's do 80. Like, and who can manifest that? You can't. It just, the timing of everything worked. So I'm just glad. Like, I'll be there to see his blessings come to fruition, you know, being patient and not like being like not being frustrated and not being like lashing out, talking all this mess, calling out this person and that person on the pod, which we don't really do unless it's like Madden or some video game that we hate or movie that we're pissing us off that week. But like, you know, but we don't really do that here. Like, you know, so it was a lot of good discussion, man. But what movie have you seen lately?
Man,
what's
so,
out there? What's out there? All right, two things. What movie have you seen and what album have you listened to recently?
Okay, great questions. What album have I listened to recently that I actually went, is it has to be new or anything?
It could be old, but you just heard it for the first time.
I heard Magic 2 by Nas. I listened to Magic 2, but produced by Hit-Boy. Shout out to Hit-Boy. One day, we will manifest for all of us to get in the studio with that man. And things are being
put in. We are a degree away.
We are a degree away. We have connections. We can get there, and we're going to get there. Listen to Magic 2 by Nas. Great project. Phenomenal work. I actually went back, and you know how you have classic albums, but there's one or two songs people say, like, I didn't like those songs on there, even though it's a classic.
Yeah.
So I went back and listened to Blueprint by Jay-Z.
The first one?
Yes.
Okay.
Because a lot of people didn't like, they didn't like Hola Jovito on that album.
I love that song.
A lot of people didn't like it. So
it's that sound works more for today.
Right. So yeah. I went back.
But people weren't ready. They just wanted bars at that time.
So I went back and I listened to it again, and I'm like, they didn't like that song, or they didn't like Jigga Jigga that Jigga. They thought they didn't like those.
Well, that was also the time like girls singing on songs was kind of weird too.
Yeah, doing like catchy hooks and stuff. Yeah. So I went back and I listened to Magic 2, and by Nas, he's dropping Magic 3 like next week. I was like, damn, Nas.
I'm like, all right, Nas, we get it. Slow down. God. You know how to pick beats. Finally, relax. We get it.
This is his sixth album with Hit-Boy.
It's like
six albums. They did six albums in like 3 years.
King's Disease 3. He went up to 3, and now he's Magic 1 and 2, and now he's going on 3. It's like LeBron finally learned to step back. Now that's all he want to do. Like, all right.
What that fake he do?
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, Bron, you got a jump shot. We made fun of you for like 14 seasons about it. Like, all right, we get it. Cool, you're one of them. Got it.
Yeah, man.
Stretch 4. Cool.
So I would just kind of listen to those projects to kind of see if like, is this the criticism of these two songs? Like, and then I was like, okay, all right. So that's what I listened to lately. I went back and shout out to our guy, Music Soul Child. Went back and listened to his Victim and Villains project.
Oh, incredible!
Went just listened back to that again because I listened to it because we were kind of in work world mode with him at that time. So
I listened to that thing front to back.
I listened to it like 3 times, recently, just to catch.
The night it came out, I listened to it front to back like maybe 3 times.
Yeah, man. To catch.
Don't mind me. I'm pulling the Booker T and I'm ordering my Uber Eats while I'm on air talking.
Yeah, man.
Shout out, Book.
So what about you, brother? What projects, music-wise? We'll get to the movie.
Okay, so my favorite album this year by far is Travis Scott.
Right.
That's my favorite album. Front to back, my absolute favorite. And it's honestly one of the most successful hip-hop albums like out there right now. Like, man, I think he's like 500. I think he went platinum already. Yeah, like he's one of the few stars in rap, like the new stars, new age stars in rap. Yes, and I'm a full supporter of him, as you can see right there. Travis Scott is truly one of my influences to what you see on me on TV when, like, you know, the braids start getting a little longer and stuff like that. Oh, the dreads for me. Him and the Playboy Cardis, their imagery is really like. Can be a little dark, but I like for villains and stuff, or in a hip hop mogul sense, they're like very visual guys, and the visual matches their sound. And that Utopia album, is the production is amazing. is incredible. That first, that Hyena song that starts off the album, it's almost like you're on the roller coaster and the bars just come back down. That's what that feels like. And you're just like, okay, where are we about to go right now? Like, right when I put that on in my headphones, I felt like the roller coaster was going up and we were about to just take off. And that's kind of what you go to Travis Scott albums for.
Absolutely.
Especially now, the new ones between this.
Absolutely.
And Astroworld, you know you're going to be taken on a ride, you know? And speaking of Madden, Sammy said he had the game won, and then Justin Herbert fumbled on taking a knee. He's like, how does that happen? Yo, Sammy's the worst, man. Shout out Sammy Callahan, but you have by far the worst Madden luck, because there's things that happen on this game that I didn't even think were possible. It will happen to Sammy Callahan. You know, that's a good soul. He toughs it out every year. One day he'll get one of them trophies. One day.
Yo, man, I want to think musically, man. I want to give a shout out, a big shout out to my man. I told him I would do this. Shout out to my man, Mike Snell, man. Shout out to my bro. He, multi-platinum, Grammy-nominated engineer. He just engineered eight of the songs on Diddy's project that's coming out. He just engineered most of the project. He just got his platinum plaque for the song "You're Gonna Love Me" with Teyana Taylor.
Speaking of which, her movie 1001.
Yes,
I watched that on the plane. Very good stuff.
Absolutely.
Shout out Teyana Taylor for that movie. That was really good stuff.
Shout out to my man, and also too, he did he engineered "Violent Crimes" for Kanye.
Love that song.
He engineered that. So shout out to my dog.
Absolutely love that song.
Miami, I believe he's based in Miami. Shout out to my brother for the policeman's phenomenal. He was with the Neptunes like last year or something like that. So shout out to my dog, man, for everything that he's doing. Much love to you, bro. Keep killing it. Keep getting that bag. And, you know, much love to you, man. As far as movies. Oh, man. John Wick 4.
You sat through all that?
I watched the whole thing.
3 hours? Oh,
Keanu.
After the 94th person got shot in the head, an hour and a half in, I was like, I don't think I can go any further.
Keanu, can you put the camera on me a second? Keanu, it's over, though. Don't do no more. It's over, though.
No,
you fell down seven flights of stairs.
You see the commercial? They got like the spinoff of the Continental of the hotel. Yeah, the series is coming out now. We're watching those commercials.
Good God, bro. Keanu, I love you, brother. You're one of my favorite actors of all time. And really? We're even a better person. I love Keanu, bro. I love Keanu Reeves, bro. I love him, bro. Keanu.
My word?
Keanu, bro. It's over, though. Let this chapter of John Wick go. It's good. Don't be, spoiler alert, give you a few seconds. Don't come back from the dead, and then you back, you fake your death, and then you back, you're getting shot. Like, I swear to God, I just have to say this. These people in John Wick have the worst aim I've ever seen. These are trained professional killers going after this man. Hitmen. We have a $3 million bounty now on John Wick. We have a $5 million bounty on John Wick. He's in the so-and-so location. And you have all these trained professionals with dogs and sniper rifles. And this man does not get hit at all. He gets hit. John Wick 4 was the worst one. No bullet touch, dude.
No, they touched him. He just kept, all he had to do was put his jacket up and shield himself. And he just took the bullet. That got very annoying after a while.
Really,
though? 45 minutes of just like, put the jacket up. Like, point blank, like, I'm about to shoot you in your head. Nope. Like, that really got really annoying. And especially when he got shot 6 feet away from a shotgun and just put his jacket up and he's all right. I'm like, even if you don't get shot, that will break your arm.
This man
There was fell. A time he did break his arm, I think.
This man fell down 9 flights of stairs. Got up.
and walk back up.
But he didn't get shot, so it's okay.
Quick question. Did y'all at least enjoy the scene, the Paris fight, like in the like the traffic, when it's all kind of like a... No?
I didn't like it.
I
thought it was too much.
It was overproduced at that point. That was like an hour and a half in. Maybe that was like... That's like two. That was like getting into the 2 hour mark. I do appreciate my one of my favorite dudes, Scott Atkins, in the fat suit playing the dude. That's Scott Atkins. He was a Boyka in Undisputed. Yeah, that's Scott Atkins in a fat suit. He was shout out to him. Like, yeah, he's incredibly talented actor and stuntman and choreographer and just performer all around. He's good friends with my boy Guy. Shout out Guy. Yeah, it was desensitized violence. It was like it's so many like just useless bodies that die after a while. It's like, okay, I have no connection anymore to any of these people, because like they're just going to bring more and they're just all going to die. You know, like what's the point of like
after a while you're just watching stuff happen. Yeah, and you're kind of just like,
bro.
It's like zombie apocalypse. Like, oh, dead bodies. Okay, cool.
After that scene, well, I don't know which genre it was, two or three.
Who cares?
When he was in there with the Asian guys, he had the swords and stuff, and he was
fighting. The hatchets.
Yes,
that scene was dope.
You could not top that to me. I was like, okay, this is good.
Yeah, with the punt push into the eye. That scene was phenomenal.
I was like,
that's
okay,
probably the best one.
This here is top notch.
I
you can't
a scene that amuses me out of all the John Wick series. It amuses me because of how silly, utterly silly it is. Him and Common just sneak shooting.
Oh my god. Oh,
that was a two. Yeah, just walking up and like they're just having a casual walk into the train station. He's just like this. I'm like, and people are just walking. I'm like, y'all have no regard to human life right now. just spraying bullets silently.
Oh, Jesus, face. They're like 5 feet away from people, and I'm just like, all right, silencer or not, you're gonna hear that.
You're gonna hear pew pew pew. Yeah, Or something. You'd be surprised how many people like walking in an airport or a train station. They're just like kind of just out, like they're not regarding what's going on around them. But a full on like sneak diss shots. I was like, come on, bro.
I hated that scene.
No, it amuses me for the wrong reasons. And it's a great gif. It's a great gif. Great meme. Great gif.
Okay, what's today's date?
12th.
Wasn't Mortal Kombat come out?
It's downloading already for me. The game.
On
the 14th it comes out.
Okay.
I already bought the pre-order. $108.
So, I am just trying to
I better get everything that game has to offer, isn't it?
I'm putting great juju in the universe. I need my blood pressure to remain as good as it's been.
Then you need to stay away from Madden for the next 2 days.
If I play Madden, which is already like 75% pisses me off, and that other 30% is Mortal Kombat,
oh, you,
I'm going to be hot.
You out of here. You out of here.
Because I literally, this is all I have. Is waiting for these Mortal Kombat games.
Bro, I'm waiting for...
I already don't got 2K.
Dog, you got it? No, you don't got it.
Oh, hell no.
No. Dog, you remember how you... Remember how you... Oh, yeah, same. Picket signs. You remember how you had to play rep to, like, get your level up?
Yeah.
Level one?
Yeah.
To go on the rep? Oh, no, now you can buy your way up to level 40. Just you can just buy, and you can skip right to level 40 now. You don't have to play on the park to level up anymore. And it costs $130 to go from 1 to 140, to 40.
So all
that's how you can get, like, instead of, like, taking a skateboard around, you can get a go-kart and a scooter and the mascots and all that craziness.
You pay $130
for that. $140
for that.
You skip all the way there. Just, you don't got to do all that. So you don't have to work anymore. So this is for people that just want to just grab a character and just go and play comp. Online, that's for them. $130. So the game already costs like $70, but if you want the season pass with Kobe on the front of it, on one of whatever the thing is, it's like $100. Or and then to get like 700,000 VC, that's another $120.
They're still doing VC.
Yeah.
Oh my
Oh yeah, baby. Oh, we're gonna get that penny.
Oh yeah, my homie just texted me and said he dropped $330 to get everything.
I'm like, no.
The game, VC, and everything. My homie texted me the receipt. He paid $330.
I will not do that, sir.
He's like, man, this is most of my check. I said, I know. Good luck, brother. Good luck, brother. Yeah, good luck. Go buy your baby some Similac.
I do not want it, sir. I do not. You can't do that to me. I can afford it, and I still say no. Because I'm like, once again, I'm like, I want to play basketball. I'm just here to hoop. I haven't seen any of the story either. That's how I know the game is bad. The game's out, and I haven't seen not one lick of story. I haven't seen Spike Lee. I haven't seen you TikTok dancing with the little girl in the middle of the street. I haven't seen – that was last year. I haven't seen you walking the fashion line, fashion shows, crap. I haven't seen anything. I'm like, I'm good. Y'all haven't done anything because y'all haven't changed anything in the game. But all I'm looking for – my most anticipated game of the year that I'm looking forward to. Please don't disappoint me because this is all I have. I'm hanging on a limb for these two games, actually, I will say. It's Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
And Assassin's Creed Mirage. Assassin's Creed Mirage primarily, though. Yeah, because I'm like – because they're going back to the original assassination-style fighting. The old – like, I like the old ones way more than I like this. RPG, shield up, stab.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I love the old ones more.
Yeah. I don't want to be an emperor. I don't want to be a gladiator with Russell Crowe. No, I'm trying to be an assassin.
Yeah.
I want to sneak around and hunt
I'm
people.
I'm not trying to be Dalzim with an arrow, bro. I'm good, bro.
Like, no, I don't want to have a spear. I want a sword. I don't want a shield. I don't want a Thor's hammer. In Valhalla, I'm not, no.
But it's in this time
period. I'm not the Viking experience. I am an assassin.
He was, in this time period, he was in Egypt. He was part black. But his spirit said, head ass. No, I'm good, bro. I'm good. Give me back in the white silk and let me just, back in the day.
They kind of got away from the animus, too. They don't even tell the outside of the story.
Bro, they don't.
Desmond dead. They said, yeah, we don't care. That's too much work. They got away from that.
Yeah, I think the last one, I think I remember them trying to do it was like maybe Black Flag. They had something.
I hated that pirate ship one.
I didn't like it either.
Could not.
That's a lot of people's favorites too.
You know, they're supposed to make the spinoff. I forget what it's called, the spinoff game, but that still hasn't come out yet. Like
they were supposed to do they were supposed to do a samurai one. They were supposed to do one in China. It was supposed to do Mirage was actually pushed back. That was supposed to be come out like maybe a couple years ago, but Valhalla jumped in front of that for some reason. I don't know. Origins was the last great one I felt like I played because the Egypt was so cool.
I have to say this,
please.
As a 35-year-old man, I have no problem saying my age. I will say this live on the Source City podcast as we're talking right now. 15 to 25-year-old TZ would have been stubborn about this. 35-year-old me admits that I'm kind of out of my prime because I will 100% admit that Sifu told me I'm out of my prime. Sifu, I'm out of my prime.
Yep.
Sifu, with how tough that is, and I literally could not figure it out. I would have done anything to figure that out. I would have been up all night.
I would have reset the game. Started from the beginning. I'm like, nope, died. I got to get.
He told me, he's like, yo, get this game, bro. I was like, okay. I play it, and I'm like, oh, hell no. Hell no. Hell no.
Because I'm like,
I'm washed.
I see what this is. Nowadays, like 45 minutes into a game, you can see what it's requiring of you. And if it's too much that you can offer, I back out now. I don't have the wherewithal to like, okay, now I need to dive in to really learn this game, learn the concepts and learn the mechanics and like, oh, where's the glitches? That part of the wall could take me to here. But if you don't, I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not Crash Bandicooting these games no more. I'm not going to find no back wall to find the gems. I'm not doing that no more. I don't have the patience. I need a game where I'm just like, I don't even like open world games anymore. It's too much. It's too much, even though, like, Spider-Man and Assassin's Creed have that. But, like, there's elements of it that are streamlined, too. You could just play. You could just fight and do this. But I had, like I said, like this year I had a really good time playing a Plague's Tale Requiem.
That game was fire watching them play that.
Yeah, like just playing that was a really good experience because it was streamlined. It was straightforward. I didn't. It required some thinking, but it wasn't overly hard like a Demon Souls or a Bloodborne and all that. Elder Scrolls and all that crap. It's like that's too much. You're doing too hard. Like I said, if I already know what you're requiring of me, and it's too much for me to put out for you, so I'm not going to give you all that. But Requiem was like just a good pace. It was well paced game, good story, good characters, easy gameplay. But the concepts were like the challenge and the puzzles and figuring out how to maneuver around and stuff like that. It made you think, and you got rewarded for getting past it, and which is what I love. You know, it was really good combat. The puzzle was the combat, which was really cool. So that was awesome. But as far as movies go, I feel like my favorite movie I've seen this year, this is 2023. I'm trying to think of my favorite, my absolute favorite. Recently, I just saw The Whale. And that was really well done. That was very good.
You think the writer's strike has kind of hurt movies?
Oh yeah, movies. Yeah. Like if this is like movies already has just been taking a hit lately this year,
right?
You know, I would say actually the best movie I seen all year was the Spider-Man. We went to go see.
Spider-Man. We went to Spider-Man. That was a good ass.
Across the Spider-Verse was
that good. That movie was so good.
Incredible. I'll watch it again. I have not seen Oppenheimer yet. I'll wait till that gets on the Fire Stick and I'll pop that in. But just make sure you watch it. It's a great movie. Just make sure you watch it like when you're awake. Yeah, that's the dialogue films. Yeah. But I there's some of the movies I do get into. I do get into like some dialogue heavy films. Yeah. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse like trumps everything I've seen this year. Like even hero, as far as hero movies, it trumps everything. Like it was better than The Batman. Which is, that's a 2022 film, right? Oh, God. I want to say that came out last year. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
I think that was, it's a good movie, but I think a lot of people put it over, like, too good. Like, it's like a legendary Batman film. I'm like, I wouldn't say that.
Batman got to grow on me, too, bro. Yeah. It's cool, but he got to grow on me.
I'm one of the minority that enjoyed The Flash. I've started. Will I say it's good? That's neither here nor there. Did I enjoy it? Absolutely. In theaters, I enjoyed the movie. Bad CGI and all. I grew up watching bad CGI. I don't give a damn. CGI is CGI. Whatever. I enjoyed the movie. It might be Ezra Miller for me, man. I started that movie like 3 times, and I still am struggling to get past the first act. I'm definitely going to watch it, but
yeah. You know, one last thing I have to say. While we was talking about this, and they're getting the casting, and they're letting everybody know who's doing this, you know what I'm about to say. This movie better be fucking good, because if it's not, the epic rant that we will have on here from me when this movie comes out, I better not see damn Goro in a damn garage in somebody's house again. Cole better have some damn more powers than a damn strong breastplate.
They put him in there and say, he'll be all right.
I better not. I swear to God. Look, homie that played Raiden, you was cool. I need somebody flyer. I'm used to the first Raiden to do with personality. He ain't do nothing. Raiden didn't do nothing that entire movie. That movie, he didn't do nothing. Absolutely jack, bro.
I'm still wondering, like, where's the tournament? Where's the are we just training all movie? Oh, we just training. We ain't actually going to get to the fight. But that goes back to the first Mortal Kombat. Where's the war? We're trying to prevent this war, and the armies are marching. But where's the war? Where's the war? It didn't happen? Okay.
And I never understood the. I know this is kind of going back.
You know, Real quick, there was an issue with the. The Flash movie, you haven't seen it, finished it. Who stabbed his mom?
I kept seeing reviews about that. Stabbed people talking mom. About that. Yeah.
Well, he runs. So he has a little flashback in his head, and it shows him as a kid, and his dad went to the store to pick up tomatoes or whatever because she forgot them.
Oh yeah, I did see that scene. Yeah, she's like laying there.
Bleeding. Yeah, she's laying there bleeding. Right, he comes downstairs like, "Oh my god, my mom dying. That's why my dad's in jail, and why I got to do all this whole thing to get my dad out of jail." Then he comes back home, and then he runs back in time, and fixes it, puts the tomatoes in the thing. Yeah, like broad day. It's like 12 o'clock. But he puts the tomatoes back in her thing, and then like, oh, they continue on. She has a life. His mom's alive. Who stabbed his mom? What happens to that person that stabbed his mom? Because he fixed the timeline, and the dad's home now. So would it be? So did the dad actually stab his mom? What happens to the person that went in and stabbed the mom? Like, because in Flashpoint Paradox, that's Eobard Thawne, who's Reverse Flash. No, Reverse Flash. Yeah, is the one that does it because he hates Flash in the future, so he goes back in time to try to ruin his life. But they didn't. They made Zoom in the movie at the end because that's Flash in the future, but they made it Zoom instead of Reverse Flash because they made him like the Speed Force ghost thingy, demon. Yeah, I'm like, oh, so they're doing Zoom, right? But then they said, no, it's me, because I kept running back in time to save my mom. That's what I'm saying. I'm confused because they did Flashpoint, but they mixed up a lot of crap. Like, because in Flashpoint, Zoom is another timeline Barry who just kept traveling back and forth, and he got caught up in the Speed Force and became a Speed Force ghost or whatever, Space Ghost, Coast to Coast, whatever. And then, but that's not who kills his mom. It's Reverse Flash, who isn't Barry. So y'all met, and then when you do go to that other timeline and stuck there to get that Batman in that timeline, that's not Bruce. That's not another timeline Bruce. That's Thomas Wayne, Bruce's dad, because in that timeline, Bruce is the one that got shot. It's Bruce and Martha that got shot, but Thomas lived. So Michael Keaton should have been Thomas Wayne, not another Bruce Wayne. So I'm like, So his mom just got shanked by some crackhead that was walking down the street that day. Dad was home. The crackhead decided not to go in the house and stab the innocent bystander. So he just kept walking on his day. He stabs that wife in that house three blocks up. She becomes a villain later. That's what happens, I guess. I don't know. Like, but I'm like, we don't know who stabbed his mom. Hit me up and tell me what you like. Can you solve this conundrum, this Riddler conundrum for me? Other than that, I'm not really looking forward to any movies. I'm not even looking forward to Blade with Mahershala Ali.
I'm not either. I'm not either, brother. That really.
I look at him and see Moonlight.
I don't see it. You know, that's a no for me, Daddy.
Even though I like him as an actor, he's really good.
Right. Yeah.
But. I don't know.
Same thing, like I'm hearing about this new Black Panther they're making. I don't know where they go from here. They're starting on. That's what I heard. I read that like last week.
I wasn't a big fan of Wakanda Forever all like that. Me neither. It was cool. Some people put it above Black Panther, which I disagree.
They got to.
Which I disagree.
Cut it out.
I really disagree because this whole CGI, the final fight in the CGI, I'm like, I don't
that
care.
Whole thing was
that it. Last move, that last fight was 2 minutes
that thing,
long.
That whole thing was it. That thing was an Angela Bassett therapy session, bro. That's all that was. Angela Bassett therapy session. That's all that movie was.
Well, she acted her ass off.
Really did. She killed it. She killed it. But without God rest his soul. But, you know, they obviously had to anchor the next, you know, the one that.
Oh, speaking of which, on that, I met after Wembley that night. I did Wembley.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I met Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah. How was it? That was cool.
Really cool dude. That's really cool. Up. He was like, oh, this is my party thing. We showed him the video footage of us doing. He's like, what? That's insane. Oh, we gotta get a picture. Took a picture with us. He was like, oh man, he was like, have fun, eat whatever. And, drinks are free. I was like, I only got a Red Bull, but like, yeah.
My dog, we don't drink.
That's some
no drink gang over here.
Jerk chicken though. Yeah. I was like, they was right off the grill, right to your plate. I was like, ooh, it was fire. Good night. Met a couple of British rappers there too.
That's what's up.
Yeah, Giggs showed up. Yeah, I didn't. Me and Flash already had it out, but the Giggs ended up showing up. But it was a good group of people there. But yeah, shout out Daniel Kaluuya, man, talented. Yo, these black British actors, man,
they on point, bro. They on point right now, bro.
They are running Hollywood.
They killing
right now.
It, bro.
Damson Idris,
yes sir,
incredible.
Yes
sir, Daniel Kaluuya, incredible. Yeah, that's true. If you know other, I mean, and you know, hopefully Jonathan Majors beats this case. He's another all star out there. Michael B. Jordan all star, young black all stars out there.
I didn't see the new Creed yet. I have not watched it.
It's a good watch.
Get to that. You it's watched it. Watch. You guys seen it? I gotta get it. I'll probably get on YouTube tonight.
It's a good solid watch.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, they did some really cool. Like Michael, this the Michael B. Jordan directed this one.
That was something missing without Stallone.
No.
Okay, cool.
No.
Okay.
Nope. He's off in the Expendables universe now. Yep.
Yeah, man.
Let it blow up more shit.
Next thing you know, they're going to... 50
cents in it. Yes, he is.
So, wish
me luck, I wouldn't be surprised guys. Ice Spice in this.
Wish me luck, guys. I have to say this, too. You know, the man Jamar, who does the 80s, 90s vibe page, and he also does our TikTok, and he helps run, he runs the Swerve City podcast Instagram. It helps run my Instagram when I got stuff going on. He's starting a short film, like based on the couple, Chicago and Shorty from Poetic Justice. So, just got his cast together and stuff like that, and I'm going to try out as like a supporting actor to Chicago. I've never done it before, never acted before. He asked me if I want to try out. I said, "Why not? I'll hit Swerve up for some pointers, see what I can do." I don't know.
He's still figuring it out.
He's putting some casting together, I guess. He's already got Chicago, and I forgot the girl name in Point of Justice. What was the girl name in Point of Justice? The one Chicago.
Janet Jackson.
The one that was with her. The one that Chicago was with, brushing his hair at his girl.
Oh, Regina King.
Who would she play? Anybody know her name in the film? I forgot.
Regina King.
Regina King is the actress. Chicago and Regina King.
She's an all-star, too. She won an Emmy.
Yeah, man. So I guess he's
putting, did she win an Emmy?
I think she did.
Well, she won something for Watchmen, I thought. It was good.
Absolutely. Right. So when I find out more information about, I guess they're going to start shooting it in Georgia, like next month or two. I don't know. He said he wanted me to do some supporting thing. I never did it before. I'll give it a shot. You know, you guys can take me if I'm trash. Let me know. But I'm gonna give it a shot. You know?
Black folks is natural performers, bro. We just we kind of just pick up things as we just do it. You know,
yeah.
So, especially with the actors. I was like, oh, what? Just act like you were broke in an apartment. Okay.
I don't go back to the broke boys days because that shit.
I'm like,
I was broken up.
I've done that before. Like, you know?
I can do that, bro. Like, hey, that's no problem.
Hey, all right, this scene, you're hanging out in a barbershop and go. Like, okay, I've hung out in barbershops before, you know. So.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to him. Shout out to you, brother, with everything you got going on. Cy, all you guys, man. We all busy, booked and busy, man.
Stay on it. Oh, man. Like, can't wait for these Emma tapes to be finished up.
Yeah, but I'm gonna. Yeah.
We barring up. Yeah, bar mitzvahs.
We have a great mixtape coming out. If you guys will see, Industry Beats, great idea that my brother here had, and
just some beats. We grew up
lyrical exercise, man. All of us just keeping our pen sharp and having fun, man. It's good to be able to do that again. And, you know, King, we got to start sending you stuff first so you don't take all the flows by the time we get it, and that we have to try to keep up with what you're doing. Let us send you some stuff.
Yeah, let TZ set the pace.
let me get a verse in on something and then send it to you guys. Because King is killing us. But yeah, man. Thank you, brother. We are.
Yeah, we out, man.
We almost 20,000 subscribers on our YouTube. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe. It all adds up.
And thank you all for whoever is spreading the word on the Big Pressure Nana Challenge, Swerve Challenge Dance. It's been like the streams on Spotify is almost at 600,000 streams.
Congratulations,
Big
brother.
Pressure alone.
Congratulations,
and that's from y'all people like really taking attachment to Nana coming out with me every week. And then I'm seeing y'all TikToks. I'm sharing them. It's really heartwarming. Like I said, my man's reinvented himself to this viral sensation in pro wrestling. You don't really see too many of that with in the black community. So, I will be honest, like the industry people are really taking notice. I will be honest. So there's some things coming up that is really, really, really enticing.
Amen, brother.
So I'll leave you off with be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
Do your homework.